Thank you all. We appreciate that. Thank you for that beautiful offertory, Charlotte. Rendition of Holy, 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 if I remember right. I think so. So invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, as I was thinking of this auditorium, I remember when we first bought the building and looked at it, it had a low ceiling, and the ceiling tile, they used to be white, but they were yellow. They turned yellow, and I thought, well, that's funny, they yellowed over the years. Well, then I realized there was a reason they yellowed. There's a lot of cigarette smoking going on in this building, so they're yellow from, and it smelled like cigarette smoke. We had dark paneling, low ceiling. It was very depressing, and you'd think you'd never buy a building like this, but God had plans for us and led us, and we appreciate the good building. By the way, we have a lot of traffic right now. We're kind of a main thoroughfare, in case you didn't notice. They're doing construction work on the interchange out here at the four-way stop. So we get all the semi-truck traffic now going in front of the church. So you have to be careful. Like when I was over here yesterday, I pulled out. I had to wait for three cars to go by. I mean, usually you sit there and you wait and you just hope that a car comes by. And now we get all that traffic, so it's really different. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, and verse 1 through 5. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith. And we can stop there and preach on that for a while, couldn't we? Now faith. How about faith? What about faith? Why not faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch, the walk of faith. Enoch, the walk of faith. Heavenly Father, bless our time this morning in the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. Have your way. Glorify your name. Help me as I preach. Help each of us as we listen. May we be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. May the word not go in one ear and right out the other, but may it find lodging in our minds and then in our hearts. And may we be better Christians because of having been here this morning. May we grow. May we grow in Christ. May we honor him, serve him, glorify him, even this morning and from this morning throughout the days ahead until we see Jesus, until we're taken home to heaven. And that day's coming, Lord, and we're not doing enough to prepare for that day, but by your help we can. We must. We must be what we ought to be. We can be what we should be. Help us, Lord. Glorify your name now, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Abel gives us an illustration of the way of faith. As we looked at last time, Abel, the way of faith, we saw that he was a true worshiper by faith. He had a righteous testimony of faith, and he had a clear witness to his faith. So Abel was a way of faith, the worshiper by faith, a righteous testimony of faith, and a clear witness to his faith. And now we come to Enoch, and he reveals to us how to walk by faith. He reveals the walk of faith. So Abel, the way of faith, Enoch, the walk of faith. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. There you go. That's all she wrote. That's all we need. That's all we, you and I need to do is have this testimony. Please God. That's what our Christian life is all about. Pleasing God. That's what we're here for. That's why God created you. That's why you were born. That's why you're alive today. To please God. And if you haven't figured that out, you need to get it figured out soon. Otherwise, you're going to waste your life. Don't waste your life on yourself. Live your life pleasing God. Enoch, he had that testimony. He pleased God. In other words, Enoch's life was well-pleasing to God. It was pleasing. It was pleasurable. His life brought pleasure to God. He was a pleasure to God. Are you a pleasure to God? Well, I don't know about that. A pleasure to God? Me bring pleasure to God? That's what it means to live a life pleasing to God, bring pleasure to God. And if God tells us that Enoch did it, that means I can do it, and you can do it, Enoch. Now, you know, I wonder if they called him Eno. E-N-N-O. I think they called him Eno for short. Well, Eno's no shorter than Enoch. Maybe they called him Enoch, but anyway, his life was pleasing to God. He had this that testimony then and forever, and he will reap the rewards of such a life forever, and so you and me. It's about living for God now and reaping the fruit, the reward of that life later. The reward, the fruit of our labor comes later. Don't expect it to come now, but it will come. Now, God may be pleased to give you some of that fruit now and enjoy some of that fruit now, but for sure then. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, well, man, I don't want my enemies to be angry with me and try to do me harm. So my ways better please the Lord, because the Lord then will even make my enemies be at peace with me. John 8:29, Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. I always am doing the things that please the Father. And the great question is, the gold standard of your life, does it please God? Does it please God? What I do, what I say, where I go, what I see, what I listen to, how I behave, how I treat my family, how I treat others, does it please God? What I say, does it please God? Where I go, is it pleasing to God? What I see, what I'm watching on television, on the internet, is it pleasing to God? Would God be pleased with this? That's the question. What I listen to, on and on and on we go. Romans 8:8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. Romans 8:8. But you and I... I always have trouble. Is it you? Is it I or me? You and I are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Romans 8:9. As the redeemed saints of Christ, our devotion is just to be to Him. That's what our life's all about. To be devoted to Him. To please Him. To please Him. Worldly philosophy tells us we're to please our fellow man. Politicians bombard us with promises, how they're going to do everything to take care of you and me. They are men pleasers. They'll say anything to please men. So we're bombarded with promises to please the constituents. Whatever you want, we're going to give it to you. Free health care. We're going to stop we're going to stop climate change. You ever hear such nonsense? I don't want climate change to stop. I like fall. I like winter. I like spring. I like summer. I like all those changes. This nonsense of saying we're going to fight climate change. Who do we think we are? God? Yeah. Yeah. We used to call it global warming. Now we call it climate change. Well, yeah, the climate changes. Okay, whatever. And the globe gets warm and then it gets cool. But we're gonna take care of all this. And so we're bombarded with promises. And whatever you want, I'll give it. And by promising to please everybody, they please nobody but themselves. Listen to Paul. Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. Galatians 1, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Am I a man pleaser or a God pleaser? You and I better be God pleasers. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Turn back to your left. I turn to the right. It's left. Turn 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't offend. In other words, in personal, non-essential matters over which good men disagree, don't offend. Don't unnecessarily offend someone. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 10, 33, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. I'm looking out for others. It's Jesus, others, you, right? We need to remember that. As opposed to pleasing self. And we read similar words in Romans 15. Romans 15, if you want to turn there, verses 1 and 2. Romans 15, 1-5, verse 1. We then that are strong, and every one of you here this morning, you're strong in the Lord. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Let every one of us please his neighbor, please others, as opposed to pleasing self. We're to please our neighbor. Well, Enoch was that way. Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God. And so pleasing was he to God that he was translated. He was not found that he should not see death. He was translated. That word translated means he was changed. He was transposed. He was transferred. He was transferred out of this world into glory. He was transferred from one place to another. Now, what did he do that pleased God so much? Well, look at Genesis 5. Genesis 5 and verse 21. Genesis 5, 21 and through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. It's interesting that many of these men, it says they walked with God after they had a son. After they have a child, that's when they start walking with God. And that happens with us sometimes, don't we? So when we have kids, we start thinking, I need to make sure I'm living for God. I need God's help raising these kids. So I better walk with God. Well, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him. He was not, for God took him. He walked with God. Literally, that means he walked about. He walked about with God. His manner of life, his way of life, his walk. You know, the Christian life is often described as a walk. It's the way I live, how I walk. Romans 6:4 says, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not to walk after the flesh in an ungodly way, but after the Spirit. Enoch walked with God, and so can I. Enoch walked with God, and so can I. In Genesis 17:1, if you'd like to turn there, Genesis 17:1, we read, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the God Almighty, walk before me, and be thou perfect. I'm Almighty God. I'm the all-sufficient one. Walk before me. Live before me. Live a life of perfection before me. It's all right for Abraham, not me. No, it's for you and me. That word perfection, be perfect, the idea of maturity, completeness, wholeness. Doesn't mean I'll never make a mistake or something. Is living a life pleasing him. Our walk, the way we live is before God. It's always before God. Always. Genesis 24 and verse 40, we read, Genesis 24, verse 40, Abraham's servant, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son and my kindred. Well, Abraham's sending his servant to find a wife for his son. And the Lord before whom I walk. Abraham admitted, this, I live before him, my way of life, before whom I walk. Isaiah 2, verse 5 says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come, let us walk. Let us live. Let's live our lives in the light of the Lord. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light, walk in the Lord, walk according to his will. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as children of light. So walk in the light of the Lord, walk as children of light. Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. God shows us a way, and then he tells us, walk in it. I've laid out the way. I've gone before you. And Jesus goes before us, is he not? Enoch walked with God, and so can I. And he had this testimony. He pleased God. He had evidence. He had a testimony. That's evidence. If you testify in a court of law, you give your evidence. You share what you saw. You share what you know. And he had evidence. He walked with God. To walk with God is to obey him. It's to love him. To fellowship with him. Depend on his guidance. It's to be submissive to his authority. It's to be confident in his love. It is a continual, habitual fellowship with God, delighting oneself in the Lord. That's what walking with God is about. God asked his people through Amos, in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, you can't walk together unless you agree on where you're going to go. You got to agree. You know, well, let's go over here. No, let's go here. Well, you go there, I'm going here. You got to agree on where you're going to go. My wife, sometimes we have a hard time. Sometimes when we decide we're going to go out and eat, we get in the car, start the car up, start to go, and I say, well, where are we going to go? I don't know. Well, we're going to go out west because all the restaurants are out there. Well, there's a few downtown, you know. Well, then we go downtown or we go out east of town to eat. I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Shall we go to Brahms? I don't know. We can go to Freddy's. Well, I don't know. What about, let's see what else is out there. Not much more than that, right? That's about it. No, there's a few others. Slim Chicken, I saw a sign. Isn't there something called Slim Chicken now? Is that good? You testify. You what? I don't know who's on first. Okay. But we gotta agree on where we're going or what. I know there's been times, well, let's go, and we can't decide where to go, and well, let's just go eat some leftovers at home. We go back home, and that was a lot cheaper, and we enjoyed it, and we didn't have to wait on it. And anyway, can two walk together? Need to agree on where they're going. Must walk in the same pace, the same speed. If you're in a three-legged race, you need to be in step with each other. You ever do that where you're in a three-legged race? And you tie your legs together, and you got to be synchronized. You got to get, or you're going to break your leg. And used to love three. Once you get it going, you can really go. But if you get out of step, watch out. Enoch was in step with God. He was going with God. He was going God's direction. And so he walked with God. Enoch's walk was by faith, and it pleased God. And Enoch's faith produced a death-defying translation. A death-defying translation. And by faith, he was translated so that he should not see death. He would defy death by that translation. In Genesis 5:24, it says, he was not, for God took him. God just took him. You know, in chapter 5, all the other saints we read about, we read this phrase, and he died, and he died. He did this, he lived this many years, and he died. And this one lived this many years, and he begat sons and daughters, and he died, and he died. But Enoch was not, for God took him. God took him. How did he go? How did God take him? We're not told. Did he take him in a whirlwind like Elijah in 2 Kings 2, verse 1? It doesn't happen every day that God just takes somebody and they don't see death. But God took him. Maybe he sent a chariot. Maybe it's the same chariot that Elijah would go up in. Maybe he was walking along and poof, he was just no more. Just gone. Kind of like what happens to my wife at home. It's like she's there and all of a sudden she's just gone. And I think, Myrna, are you upstairs? And I look around and then I go outside and I look outside and then I look, and the car's gone. She went somewhere. Where'd she go? Then she comes home, has all these groceries. She says, I told you I had to get groceries. Well, yeah, you told me like an hour ago. How am I supposed to remember that? But, I get worried. I think, what happened to her? I think those thoughts. Did she get kidnapped? I hope she didn't get kidnapped. But Anyway, he was gone. And friends, by our faith, we too will one day be gone. We will be gone. We're going to be walking along and whoop, 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 we're out of here. We're going up. We're going up. We know him. We're going up. One day, we too shall rise. It could be in the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. And I know you know it, but it's beautiful to look at. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, and that's a mouthful, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to be caught up in that day. In 1 Corinthians, look back to your left, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? I don't know, but it's faster than a second. It's a fraction of a second. You know, that little twinkle in an eye, it's fast. And that's in the twinkling of an eye, that's how soon, that's how quickly we'll be raised. In Romans 8:11 says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. He raised up Christ, and he didn't raise up Christ. He's going to raise you up. You're going up, 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 up. Up, 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 up. Well, Enoch was taken because of his faith. Enoch was taken because he pleased God. So that was his death-defying translation. I'm sorry, I kind of had an outline here, and his death-defying translation, he was taken because of his faith, and he was taken because he pleased God. And then, secondly, his God-pleasing testimony. He had a death-defying translation, and then a God-pleasing testimony. And what do we read about him? He pleased God. He pleased God. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to etch that on your tombstone? Here lies Terry Post. He pleased God. Now, that's kind of bold to say that. But wouldn't that be wonderful for God to write that testimony on your tombstone? A God-pleasing testimony. He pleased God. In other words, he walked with God. Again, Genesis 6, is it? No. Genesis 5 and verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, for God took him, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. But anyway, he was 960, Methuselah was 969 years old. And yet when he was born, Enoch held that baby Methuselah and he recognized his responsibility, and I think it changed his life, and he started living for God. And that's when we read, and he walked with God. He walked with God. So he had a God-pleasing testimony. He walked with God. He pleased God, and he preached to men. Secondly, he preached to men. So a death-defying translation and a God-pleasing testimony. He pleased God, and he preached to men. Enoch likely lived in a world that was already growing wicked and hostile to God, and it's so bad that finally, by the time of Noah, God would bring a flood, and because he saw the wickedness of man, and he would bring a flood and destroy man from off the earth. Genesis 6, 5 to 7 and 11 to 13. But Enoch walked with God for some 300 years. And as he walked, he was faithful to God's word by preaching God's message of judgment. In fact, look at Jude, the little book of Jude, which is, if you get to Revelation, it's right before Revelation. Jude, verse 14. Jude, there's no chapters, there's just one chapter. So, chapter 1, verse 14. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We'd have to say he lived in an ungodly world, to say in the least. But he stood true, and he stood with God, though the world stood against him, and he kept in stride with God's pace. For he believed that God is, Hebrews 11:6, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He kept himself unspotted from the world, and he was true and pure, though he was no doubt hated. And he did it all by faith. And how he pleased God, and how pleased God is to see his people, his servants, living for him in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Warren Wiersbe said, Enoch had been walking with God for so many years that his transfer to heaven was not even an interruption. Enoch had been practicing Colossians 3, chapter 3, centuries before Paul wrote, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And it's so no wonder that God took him. Enoch's faith and walk were inseparable. And again, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Does it say without faith, it's difficult to please him? Or you'll have to work extra hard to please God? Doesn't say that. No, it says without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. Apart from faith, we are all under the wrath of God. Romans 1 teaches us that. Verse 17. It's by grace we are saved through faith. And it's by grace we live through faith. How's your faith working? How's your faith carrying you through? How is your faith walking these days? It's a one-time faith in the efficacy of the cleansing of the blood of Christ, followed by a life of faith. One time I get saved, but it's throughout your life you walk by faith. A life of faith, a day-by-day, moment-by-moment faith, isn't it? Otherwise, we can't be pleasing God. We can't have God smile apart from it. Let me close with this. One commentator's reasons why Enoch was removed. Number one, his age was one of wickedness. And Enoch was one who lived righteously, reproving a sinful generation and warning of God's judgment. as we looked at in Jude 14. So he was removed because he lived in an age of wickedness, and God took him out of that. Number two, possibly the great truth of the future state, the resurrection, the eternal existence, that men were in denial. Men in Enoch's day denied that there was an eternal existence. They thought that death ended everything. And the translation of Enoch would shake people up, would get them to thinking, maybe there's something more. And number three, his removal was an important fact in history. No one else except Elijah, no one else was translated to heaven other than Jesus, Enoch, and Elijah. And it instructs us to learn that there, letter A, there's a future state, there is another world. Letter B, the body will exist in that future state. C, it prepares us for Jesus' ascension, or preparing the disciples for Jesus' ascension into heaven. Letter D, it teaches that the saints will exist in the hereafter. And letter E, it's an encouragement to holy living. That it is possible, even in the midst of a wicked world, to live righteously. We can live righteously in this world of wickedness. We can complain about it. We can curse the darkness, but it's better to just shine the light. And we might as well shine the light. You know, we can complain and moan and groan, and we do, about how wicked this world is, but what do you think? It was going to get better? We know something's wrong if it was getting better. We'd think that we're in heaven. If this world is heaven, I don't want any part of it. You know, this world is not my home. And it is getting wicked, and that's an indication that heaven is coming. So, it's encouragement to holy living, that we can live righteously and pleasing God in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. And letter F, the removal of Enoch shows that the same thing is possible in the case of every believer. That if Enoch walked with God and pleased God, you can please God. Mark it down. You can and you ought to be living a life that pleases God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Because if you're pleasing God, you're pleasing others. And you're pleasing your family. And so let's live a life pleasing to Him. I'm done, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the admonition to live a life pleasing to you. There's so much here, Lord, and so much more can be said, but we've said enough for now, Lord. And may the Holy Spirit make application, and may your word find lodging in our heart. May we go away from here this morning with the determination to live out the truth that you've revealed to us, that needs, and live out, make the change that needs to be made in our lives, that we would make sure we're living for you in a way that pleases you. Bless now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.